Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We continue our sermon today on the subject, Humanity Has a Problem. We took a look at humanity's problem last week, and we talked a little bit about that, and that's found in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, which states, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And that is a problem. And I encouraged you, and I hope that you responded accordingly. That is, I encouraged you, if you have any other concerns, to move this concern, this problem, to the top of your list in terms of priority and things that must be addressed pronto or pronto. And it requires your immediate attention, because if you have a problem with God, then you have a problem that no one else can solve but God. And so you have to focus on the reality that you, according to what God has communicated, come short of God's glory and are counted with all who have sinned. And then we took a look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, which point out that God had set the man in the Garden of Eden and commanded the man that he may eat freely of every tree, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he shall not eat of it, for in the day that he would eat thereof, he shall surely die. And what followed man's disobedience was death, just as God stated. So we see that as a consequence of disobedience to God. And then we look at Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 12, which again points out, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so we see this relationship now between sin and death, in as much as God stated it to be so in Genesis, the second chapter. So if we look at humanity's problem, which is what we discussed last week, or what I covered in a sermon last week, to say that all have sinned and come short of God's glory is to also say, therefore, the consequence of sinning against God, that is disobedience, is death. And we move and took a look past humanity's problem, or in relation to humanity's problem, and we talked about God's observation and conclusion. This is mentioned also in the third chapter of Romans in verses 10 through 12, but I highlighted Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, which are identical as it relates to what is communicated in verses 2 and 3, which says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." So we're dealing with the all. We're dealing with the none in relation to doing good. So all have gone aside. All are filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So we looked at God's observation, and we talked about God's conclusion, and that is, God looked down from heaven and he saw that there were none righteous. And we have to reason with that reality. And as we reason with it, we are going to find that man cannot fight or think or buy or talk his way out of sin. This is a problem that you must, we must reckon with God about. And it's something that God continues to call our attention to. And that is a good point now to move forward, as we had discussed again, humanity's problem, and then God's observation and conclusion, to look at God's promise and provision. And we're going to look at Romans chapter 3, verse 24, as it relates to God's promise and provision. And it reads, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And this, again, brings our attention to God's promise and provision as it relates to humanity's problem, this sin problem that we have, that then leads to or results in a death problem, and it is confirmed by God's observation and conclusion. So we are not just in a between a rock and a hard place, or in a fix or in a pickle. We have a problem that results in death, and we cannot find our way out of this problem of our own volition. It takes an act of God, and this is where we find ourselves today at this point in the sermon, and that is God's promise and provision as communicated in Romans chapter 3, verse 24. So being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, and that is for God to render us righteous, to justify us, to declare us innocent according to his kindness, according to his pleasure or his graciousness. And this is what it takes to free us from this predicament, from this problem of sin and death. It takes the kindness of God. It takes this willingness on God's part to justify us, because we don't have the ability within ourselves, and nor do we have the means to do so. So God has to act on our behalf to free us from our act of disobedience toward him. And that's what we must realize as it relates to this problem of sin and death. It is an act of hostility toward God. Sin is not a victimless act. It's not a victimless crime, if you will. Sin, although it can be manifested toward man, it is an act of disobedience toward God, because God says what we are not to do, and we disobey what God directs us to do or to not do. And that is because we have a bad case of the can't help it. And if we are indeed still under Adam's family tree, that is the natural man, then we truly do have a case of the can't help it. And that is, we are going to sin because we're sinners if we find ourselves as sons, active sons of Adam. And that is our natural family tree. So the natural man remains a sinner. That's the point in that. The natural man remains a sinner. And so what we need is God's promise and God's provision, his act on our behalf. So this is what God does according to his pleasure, according to his graciousness, his liberality, if you will. He then delivers us. He offers deliverance from our sin through the deliverance that comes only in Christ Jesus. And this is, again, where man finds himself at odds with God, because man wants to think his own way. He wants to fight his own way. He wants to come up with his own solution. And his solution is not sufficient, because a sinner on his best day is only going to come up with something that is brought forth from the hands of sinners. That's why God says in Isaiah, I think it is, that the best that we can offer in terms of righteousness to God is but filthy rags. And that is a very graphic picture, if you understand the meaning of what is communicated there regarding our righteousness, which we try to offer on behalf of ourselves to meet God's standard or to attain the glory or the righteousness that God requires. So we're going to fall short, and that's what's communicated. So here we focus at this point in relation to humanity's problem. We focus on God's promise and his provision. So we looked at Romans chapter 3, verse 24, regarding the justification that comes freely from God according to his grace, his kindness, through the salvation or deliverance that is in Jesus Christ. That's a fixed place of salvation. This is not a shifting salvation plan where one day is Jesus and the next day is something else. Yesterday it was your own effort or righteousness. Tomorrow it'll be some other means of attaining salvation or meeting the righteousness that God requires, attaining that and finding yourself in the right place in relation to God and his glory. No, this is fixed in Jesus Christ. And so this redemption, this deliverance, this salvation is exclusively found in the anointed one, the one sent by God, his only son, Jesus the Christ. So we find that God provides and he promises as it relates to our fallen position in order for us to find deliverance from the sin that we find ourselves in apart from God. And this is also interesting when we consider oftentimes people say that God looked beyond their faults and saw their needs, or they mentioned that Jesus dropped the charges. And that is contrary to what is communicated in God's word, because God makes it very clear. Jesus did not drop the charges. Jesus paid the charges. And that's why we sing Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And so he paid the charges. The charges weren't waived. The charges were paid. And if you don't know the difference between the two or the significance of the act that it took to pay the penalty for our sins, then you need to check where you stand with God. And if you truly find yourself appreciating the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf to deliver us freely from our sins. And that's what God did. It cost Christ, but it was given freely to us. And that's the point that's communicated here. And so we also see, I'm going to call your attention to the Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, where it's pointed out here that the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So now we're dealing, as it relates to God's promising and provision, we're dealing with what the scripture again confirms according to our sin. And then that is communicated in Galatians chapter 3, verse 22, in relation to the promise that God has given by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is based on the word of God. So the holy word of God, the writings that communicate that we are all, as it were, shut up under sin. We are subject to sin apart from faith in Jesus Christ. You can't fight your way out of that. And so the scripture makes it very clear that everyone is shut up under sin apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And it's significant because in both Galatians and Romans, two letters from Paul related to faith versus works, justification by faith, that is, and also both dealing with the power of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, the good news regarding Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God, the righteousness of Christ, the penalty that Christ paid for us, and the life that we have through faith in Jesus Christ. This is God's promise and his provision, which he offers through his son, Jesus Christ, and it is according to faith. So we look at this and it tells us that we must recognize and respect the authority of the scripture. The scripture has concluded or communicates that all are shut up under sin. That's what you find in the word of God. And oftentimes people dismiss God's word as if it carries no authority. But God's word is authority. It is God communicating not just to the church, but to the world, to all of humanity, the message regarding our sin, God's righteousness, and his promise and provision that he provided for all the world through his son, Jesus Christ, through faith. So the scripture, again, says that we're shut up together under sin in order that what God promised in terms of deliverance, in terms of inheriting the kingdom of God, he promises that this is ours only by faith, only by faith. So this is communicated as it relates to the offenses that we've committed against God. That's what that sin is. And then I've already spoken to that. But what he gives in terms of his promise in relation to our offenses, he gives a promise. That is divine assurance, the announcement that comes from heaven regarding what God does for us, what God does for man, what God does for the world. And what is it that God does? And I say does because the blood of Christ is as good today as it was yesterday. And it will be as good and powerful tomorrow as it is today. So this is the divine assurance of God that if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, this is how you receive God's promise of deliverance from sin and the gift of his Spirit, who then declares us or makes us righteous according to the power of God in Jesus Christ. And that's who the Spirit of God is, Christ in us, Christ transforming us, Christ making us new. And we've got to stop living old lives with a new faith. A new faith should bring new life. And that's why we say, if any man, if any person be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, that is physical. That is evidence. That is visual evidence. Look, see, be aware that all things have become new. And that's what we have to recognize God gives us. He doesn't just give us a claim of faith according to the assurance that he's given us in Jesus Christ. He gives us an actual new life. So when he looks down upon those who receive the promise that God has given through faith in Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life, the blessing of being set free from sin and now being called sons and daughters of Abraham, who's the father of all who place their faith in Jesus Christ, in as much as Jesus is the promised seed of Abraham, who delivers us through faith from the sins that we've committed against God and ushers us into the kingdom of God as children of God by adoption through faith. And as much as this is true, we've got to live our faith out. And you will find that so many times we are tuned in to our faith verbally, but we are turned off to our faith as it relates to actually living our faith out. And we've got to change our mindset. We have to recognize that faith is not just something that we claim. Faith is what we live, how we live, according to our assurance, our trust, our commitment to God through his son, Jesus Christ. And again, this is all according to God's promise and God's provision. That's what Abraham says to Isaac when he's going up as God called on him to come up and to sacrifice his only son, or his son, the promised son that God had blessed Abraham and Sarah with. And so as he goes up, the Lord, Abraham says, the Lord will provide his lamb or his sacrifice. And what we find is John the Baptist communicates this as he's preparing the way for Jesus Christ when he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And that is God's provision. He provides his own lamb because there's only one righteous enough to meet the requirement that relates to the righteousness that God requires. And that is God's own lamb, Jesus Christ. And the lamb was given as a sacrifice provided by God to himself on our behalf. And that is love. And that's why the songs so often speak of the love of God, and the scriptures speak of God so loving the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and again, we deal with the whosoever, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a promise and a provision from God. And God calls upon us to believe it, to receive it, to lay hold of it through faith. And that is how we are declared righteous with God, by God, through and in Jesus Christ. And I want to call your attention also, as it relates to God's promise and provision, I want to call your attention to the passage in Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25 in particular, because this communicates again or reinforces God's promise and provision. And it really highlights God's promise to Abraham and how we are then receiving the promise that God made to Abraham through faith. We're receiving the benefits of that promise. We are recognizing and understanding and rejoicing in the fact that the promise and the provision that God had communicated to Abraham is passed on to us because we believe as Abraham believed, and it counts our faith, God does, counts our faith as righteousness. So Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, it reads as follows: for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, that is, it's not according to works, but through the righteousness of faith. That is righteousness or justification that comes by faith. And that's what they're communicating here. And then in verse 14, continuing on, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of none effect. Again, saying it is not God giving man or blessing man according to what God owes him because he has obeyed God through the works of the law or because of what you've done to attain the righteousness of God that God requires yourself. It is pointing out this is not the way that man is justified. Otherwise, our belief in the promise and the provision of God is made of none effect. It's ineffective. It's void. It's invalid. So moving down to verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. So again, the law points out sin. The wages of sin is death. God has counted all under sin through Adam, because of Adam, and we live that sin out. So again, don't see yourself as a victim of the sin, not in the truest sense. You see yourself as an active participant, a willful sinner, because you are a sinner. And apart from Jesus Christ, that's all man is capable of producing. It doesn't matter, again, how educated, how rich, black, white, brown, yellow, does not matter. If you are a natural man, that is, you have not been saved by placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a sinner. And it doesn't matter how you dress yourself up or how bougie you are or how refined you are, whatever your state is, you, at the end of the day, are nothing more than a sinner apart from faith in Jesus Christ. So again, from verse 15, where he says the law works wrath, because where no law is, there is no transgression. And therefore, the law is provided to reveal the transgression, which is the offense against God, our rebellion against God. That's what the law reveals, that we are unable to keep it in and of ourselves. Therefore, in verse 16, it is of faith that it might be by grace. And so faith is believing what God has promised and provided. Faith is believing God's promise and provision. Now, who wants to go against what God says and does on our behalf? That is what you call the highest level of pride, because you're going to trust in your own righteousness, your own determination and provision. And this is, these are the folks who say, I'm just going to find my own way. I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to find my way through this life. Well, at the end of this life, what you're going to find waiting for you is the same thing that you started with, sin and death. And nothing that you accumulate, nothing that you have to offer is going to relieve you of that reality. And I've been telling people here very recently how important it is for us to stop communicating to our young people how proud we are of them for continuing in school but dropping out of church. And we make it seem as if education and everything that they can attain in this life is pleasing to God apart from God. And that is a travesty. It is one of the great travesties of our times, because it makes them proud and delusional. Proud in that they trust in themselves and that they think that they are independent and able to attain all that they want and desire. And delusional because they think that they get an automatic pass into heaven because of the prestige or the reputation or the attainments that they've achieved in this life. Based on their own natural ability. And God is not pleased with it. He looked down and he already gave his conclusion. Now he gives us the promise and provision. And to resist that and to declare yourself able to achieve what only God could promise and provide, that indeed is delusional. So it's a faith that it might be by grace. That is what God gives, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And so it's making the distinction where he says what I've already read when we talked about humanity's problem. That is, there is no distinction because the grace is to everybody. It applies to everybody because God has counted all under sin and there is none righteous. So he says, but to that also, which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, which I've already read. And he says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And he's pointing out again what God has communicated to Abraham, and God gives life. And it points directly to Abraham and Sarah, that in their old age, God made a promise concerning the son, the promised seed, the promised son. And it wasn't Hagar's son. It was Sarah's son. And that's who the seed would come from. It would come through Isaac and not Ishmael. And that's the promise that God had gave. And he called it to be. Even though it was not yet, it was in God's economy because God caused it to be, even though it hadn't been revealed yet. And so the promises of God are sure and true. And I call upon you to believe that, to trust God's provision and to trust his promise. And I'm going to pick up here when we meet again, Lord willing. But in the meantime, you've got to address that problem, that sin problem. And if you haven't placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have a major problem that you need to move up to the top of your list of concerns, and you need to get that right with God. Settle that business. God has already made the promise and the provision. You've just got to grab hold of it, lay hold of it, place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Until we meet again, remember to tell somebody how sweet it is to trust in Jesus. God bless you.